Pure Dog Talk is the voice of purebred dogs. We talk to the legends of the sport and give you the tips and tools to create an awesome life with your purebred dog. From showing to preservation breeding, from competitive obedience to field work, from agility to therapy dogs, and all the fun in between, your passion is our purpose. Welcome to Pure Dog Talk. I'm your host, Laura Reeves, and I have a really fun couple folks to join us today. We have Bert and Bruce Reddick, and they are in charge of many of the RV parking situations in Northern California, and we're going to talk about parking and how to be nice to the parking people and why being nice to the parking people is important and why reserved parking works the way it does and some ideas for clubs who might like to add a reserved component to their shows and all of that kind of stuff. So welcome, guys. Thanks for coming.
Thanks for having us.
Yes, definitely. Thanks for having us.
Excellent. This should be fun. It'll be very fun. Now, you guys are dog people. You're not just like random
people.
Boxers and Boston Terriers?
Correct.
Yes. And how long have you been doing dogs?
Close to 30 years.
Yeah.
Yeah. Showing dogs.
Yeah.
And I am now an AKC judge.
Yes. So excellent.
Really involved in the sport.
Yeah. And what was the impetus? What made you guys decide, hey, I want to get yelled at every weekend to do RV parking?
Bruce was bored while Bert was having fun showing dogs, but wanted to be in a place that could participate somehow, so started by helping others with their parking coordination endeavors. And over time, word got around. They got to know Bert and I personally, as opposed to having somebody else in front, if you will, and came to me directly and said, Bruce, will you and Bert do our RV parking? We like the way that you deal with people, and we'd like for you to do our parking for us for our club and our show. And that's where it's grown from. We don't solicit clubs for their parking. We let word of mouth, advertising, and reputation.
And exhibitors.
From the exhibitors do that for us. And as a result, have generated some very strong, solid relationships with several people, with shows and clubs. And it's just enjoyable. It's a nice way to meet people in
my
case.
You get to see a lot of people.
Yeah, as well as show dogs.
Yep.
I'm more involved with occasional visits to the ringside myself these days.
Okay, so throughout the country, this isn't necessarily
correct
the way it's handled. So let's talk about some of the advantages of having a designated person that is not a club member be in charge of handling the RV parking.
Structured parking, safety, number one. Structured parking, all vehicles parked in the same direction. Having aisles that are wide enough to get emergency vehicles in. To know where people are parked in case of emergency. And from a business decision, putting people in proper places that make it easier for them to do their job and that works with the kennel club.
Right. So that the club, many of our clubs have fewer and fewer members.
Correct.
Trying to do more and more work.
Correct.
And I've had this conversation with my own club. And it is a question of penny wise, pound foolish, or pound wise, penny foolish, or however that works, right? That, you know, you're going to spend a small amount of money for someone else to be in charge of this particular part of your dog show.
True, as well as we take that responsibility per se away from the club to free up club members because we know the, for lack of a better term, we know the players.
Right.
We know how, from a business decision, how this should all work.
Mm-hmm.
And if you take two or three club members and put them out in an RV parking lot, you're taking away from doing other things.
Ring stewards or hospitality or whatever it is.
Whatever
you need
it takes to
do.
Because all breed, as well as specialty clubs, members are diminishing. And this is a statement in general. I don't think that we see a lot more young people getting into this. And as we get older, there's just not the bodies to do the work.
And one or two or five can only do so much.
Right.
Absolutely. Okay, so we were talking about safety, and I would like to have you guys run through really critical pieces, whether it's a club doing their own parking or things that you concentrate on when you're doing the parking for a show.
Well, bottom line, I guess Bruce and I feel we are responsible for the RV-based exhibitor. And after the show is over with, after everybody goes home that is not an RV-based exhibitor, this is a village out here, and we look out for one another. Safety, as I said, RVs all placed in the same direction. If you had to evacuate for a fire, or an emergency. Your aisles are wide enough, even wider than what the state allows, so you can get a fire truck in there or an ambulance, which we have done in large shows, that generators are on the same direction and that we ask that you put up a generator pipe.
Right.
That's a safety
issue.
Exhaust, yeah. Driving cars. Tag cars, tow cars, want to park, want to go in and deliver my dog to my friend, my handler. Mm-hmm. We're very conscientious about that because if you drive in and out of the RV parking lot all day long, what can happen is safety. Dog gets loose from an exercise pin. Flexi lead doesn't latch. Mm-hmm. Kid chases a ball because they're out playing ball. And you're driving your dog. You've come in from the grocery store and you have all your groceries. You're coming around the corner and you meet the dog that's on the Flexi that doesn't latch. It's not that we don't want the cars in here. It's that we want safety in here.
Right.
And that's our whole big thing. We'll let you in after the Best in Show's over with. But we just want to make our exhibitors feel safe.
Absolutely. And then the perennial thing, how best, as an exhibitor, I come to the dog show and I have my four little dogs or four giant dogs or whatever it is, and I want to have the best parking spot that I can get. Handicap, maybe. Okay. All of those sorts of things.
Enter your dog, enter your RV. You enter your dog. You think that you might be coming. So you show up non-reserved. I didn't know I was coming. You had an inkling because you had to get your entries in 2 weeks ago. You can always cancel your parking before it closes, just like you can your entries. So we look at that from a business decision. If we have people coming in, bringing 25, 30 dogs in a truck, whatever, you are just as important with your one dog as people are with 20 dogs. But from a business decision, 20 dogs, three spaces closer than you, makes their job easier, too. So it's not that you're not important. You are important. But again, it's a business.
Well, and common sense.
It's not a favoritism.
Right.
How come Joe Blow Handler always is in space number one? It's a business decision. It's not a favoritism. And that's one thing you have to do. If you think you're coming to the dog show, give us a call. Hey, I didn't send my parking in, but I'm coming, you know, just so we can get you on the books.
Mm-hmm. Right. And I think, too, and Bruce was making this point, it's not a question of we want only handlers up front or what have you. It's a question of if that handler's running 20 dogs in and out of the ring on top of you, yeah. You know, you're safer back here.
Yeah, you're right. You're right, because you may go up to the ring once. You win the breed twice, you're coming back. A handler, say, may have 20 dogs, and 10 of those are group dogs, so there's 30 times they're at the rings right then and there.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, again, but you talk about handicap. Let's talk about that
in
the state of California.
Yes.
Okay, because I'm very familiar with those. The state of California, handicap RV parking, well, they don't acknowledge anything larger than 30 feet.
Oh, for handicap parking.
Correct.
Interesting. Okay.
Okay, so maybe other states do. I don't know.
So know your state regulations.
Yeah. But if you look in the book that is the AKC puts up for a dog show trial manual, it also says that a kennel club does not have to offer RV parking. That is up to each individual kennel club.
Interesting.
Yes, it does say that. But if somebody is handicapped, we try to make sure that they have a flat surface to get to the ring. Not necessarily close, but so if somebody is in a wheelchair, a scooter, something of that nature, we try to make it easier. I mean, providing that the surface as a whole is smooth. I mean, if you're on dirt and parking RVs, you know, and handicap doesn't necessarily mean close to the ring. It really doesn't. It means that we will accommodate you to get there as safely as we can.
Good. Safety.
And I just want to say, it's one thing I hope people understand, that we do want to work with you as best as we can within the limits of what we have to work with. And I like to hope that people will take a moment and understand that, again, it isn't a favoritism thing on that angle, too, as far as for handicap. We do as best as we can with what we have to work with, and we hope that people take a moment and think about the bigger picture.
And if we have to say no, we try to tell them why we can't.
Right.
Or come up with a solution.
Right. And I think that's a great suggestion for other clubs that are, whether they're parking their own or working with a parking service, is to really concentrate on that. We're serving the exhibitors, right? This is a service industry.
If we have to say no, if you say to me, Laura, gee golly, I need to park in space 1A, okay? You know, I've got a club member, or I've got so-and-so. I can't do that, but maybe I can do 2B for you. Will that work for you? And we come to an agreement. You know, we just say we can't do it and turn around and walk away. We're all about customer service. I worked in the customer service industry for almost 40 years in my professional career. Bruce's business is based on customer service. Mm-hmm. And without the exhibitors, a dog show doesn't happen. If we don't have the exhibitors, there is no RV parking. There is no entries. The vendors don't benefit. Nobody benefits.
Right.
You got to be kind to your people.
Absolutely kind to your people. And that is a great segue for the flip side of this, which is that yes, the exhibitor is important, but being mean to the club members, the RV parking people, whoever it is not going to be beneficial to your goals.
True. 98% of the people want to get in and get parked. Mm-hmm. Show me where my spot is. Mm-hmm. The other 2% want to play Let's Make a Deal. And I get that too, because I have probably played Let's Make a Deal in my career of showing dogs, or our career of showing dogs. But we try to do the best we can. And I would say to exhibitors, especially in California, certain fairgrounds, Northern California, power. That's a big thing. We don't have a power vendor like Southern California does, where you pay extra to plug into your 50 or 30 amp plug. And we stated on the form that power is icing on the cake, is what it is. It's the cherry on top. It should not be expected.
Right.
If somebody has a medical need, we will work with you. But we wish we had grass and electric for everybody. Right. Reality is that's not going to happen.
Right.
You know?
And I think it's so important for exhibitors to understand that people that are in charge of RV parking, whether it's you guys or
anybody.
RV parking vendor or any club member, whoever it is, they're trying to do the best they can. They're not trying to make your life hell. Right? I mean, I think that is the part we have to really concentrate on.
Sure. And that's just it. If you're not happy where you're parked, we go into a negotiation thing and we'll try to, you know, we don't get in the habit of people coming in and saying, I want to park here and I want to park here and I want to park here. It doesn't work that way. Or I think I'm better than so-and-so. I think I should park here.
Right.
I mean, my bottom line, this is as true as it may be or laughable, you can win a best in show no matter where you're parked, because the best in show judge does not ask you where you're parked when there's seven of you there. Oh, Mrs. Smith, you're in spot A1, okay. Oh, Mr. Jones, you're in the day of show lot non-reserve, because you know what? You didn't send your parking in. Mrs. Smith, you're best in show.
That's not how that works.
It doesn't work. So you can, the best in show judge can point to you no matter where you're parked. Just keep that in mind.
I think that is so fabulous. I always love that one. And one of the things I wanted to touch on as well on the safety piece, and I know that you guys standard have, is it 22 wide?
Ours are 22 by 40.
Okay, so all kinds of shows all across the country, you see smaller spaces or you see different configurations. Ideal for you, and why?
The newer RVs, trailers, mm-hmm. have slide outs.
Right.
A 40-foot coach is standard. You know, now you're looking at 42, 43. We can fudge on some, but then you get the 43, and then you get the big pod on the back, and now you're 46 feet. But the 22 by 40 we have, based on slide outs, exercise pins, that seems to work. We would love to do 25 by 40.
Yeah.
Sometimes space doesn't allow us to do that. Mm-hmm. Some of the larger shows, we just don't have the room. Some of these shows that are smaller, we can do that. Back east, I've traveled a lot, seen RV parking. Usually it's facilitated by a fairgrounds. You pay the fairgrounds X amount of dollars, you go in and park. But with that being said, they also have grooming. So most of your handlers and or exhibitors are unloading, putting their stuff in a grooming building or a grooming area and coming back to their RV. They're not setting up their exercise pins and their tables and their whatnots that they do.
Working off the truck.
Correct.
Which we do a lot of out here.
We do in California, Nevada, Arizona,
Oregon,
Washington.
Yeah.
But you get into, you know, I've been in the South, and as I said, they pay the gate and you go park where you want. Mm-hmm. On a safety note, I'll just throw this in. I was in Georgia one time, went with a friend in a motorhome to a dog show. I drove her tow car. We parked. The next morning we got up, somebody was parked underneath our awning. We had no idea who it was because it was an empty space, because they just took the money, and rigs going each different ways. That's another thing too. You get water heater to water heater,
bad.
You could be asking for a disaster when people want to park awning to awning so they have their, you know, little get together. That's fine, well and dandy, but then on either side of you, you're going to have somebody's water heater, and that could be a recipe for a disaster.
And tell them exactly why. I know, but I want you to tell people because they may not know.
Well, water heater to water heater, you get two combustible things together, it's fire.
Propane and propane makes explosion.
Yeah.
Right. All it takes is for
something to ignite.
The pilot to go out on one, that propane's still flowing, or a broken line, and that propane is there. It's the same idea as far as with gasoline vapors, yeah. Frankly. You want to make sure that people don't have a vehicle with no cap on the gas tank. You get those vapors develop and a source of ignition, and it's not pretty.
Again, we feel responsible, and if we've done everything in our part, accidents do happen. I'm not going to sit here and tell you accidents don't happen. They do. But if we can avoid something by being conscientious, we need to be proactive instead of reactive. And that's what it's all about. We'll be proactive by parking everybody in the same direction to try to avoid the reactive of, oh my goodness sakes, my refrigerator's on fire.
Right. Which is a bad thing.
Yeah.
Been at a dog show when that happened. It was a very bad thing.
Agreed.
Okay. Excellent. Any other tips or advice for exhibitors or clubs as regards the special niche of RV parking?
Patience.
Yes.
We are only human beings, just like you sitting in that RV or that truck or that trailer or whatever. We are human beings. We make mistakes. We're not perfect, and I'll admit that. But when it's pouring down rain and we're in our muck boots and we're in our yellow duck suits out here trying to get you parked, and you're sitting in your RV where it's nice and dry, just ask for a little patience. We can control a lot of things, but Mother Nature is not one of them. So when it's hot, when it's wet, when it's windy, when it's cold, a little bit more patience. Bruce, wouldn't you say that?
I would say, yeah, that's the only thing if I were to ask for some would be a little more patience, a little more understanding sometimes with people that
We're human.
Yeah, we're human, and we're doing as best as we can do. And
we can't control the flow of traffic. We can't control the 10 RVs show up at one time, and then we sit there for 10 minutes, 15, 20 minutes, and nobody shows up. It's just the way that it works. If you have to wait in line, be patient. Another thing, if parking opens at a certain time, it's not because we don't want to work it. It's because the Kennel Club has asked us. We'd like to get our vendors in and out because your path to your RV lot is going to be bound by the vendors. So if you've got a bunch of vendors unloading, then again, people's patience get, well, I can't get through. I can't get to my spot.
Safety.
So if we say we open at 1 o'clock, sure, you're going to be there. If we can get you parked at 11 o'clock, we'll get you parked. But if we can't, understand that our hands become tied, because there's a lot of things happening at a dog show that you may not see or know what's going on that we do. We are not parking Nazis and say, well, it's, you know, 12:59, so you got to wait one more minute. We try to work with you, but there are reasons sometimes that you don't understand sitting in your vehicle why we can't. Could be insurance, because clubs don't have insurance. Could be vendors. Could be ring setup. The list can go on and on. Right. So sometimes you may see that we're just sitting there, and why aren't we parking you? But there's things going on that you may not realize. Yeah.
Could even be a weather thing. At a show recently, we had a situation wherein I had to break from worrying about parking people to go and fix a problem and remark an area because of rain had caused grass to turn into soup. So I had to remark an entire 200-foot line of spaces. As it was looking to park people early because was in a position to do it until this was brought to my attention. I had to go make a change and had a couple of exhibitors that didn't quite understand the bigger picture. When we discussed it later, they did, and they apologized, and I appreciate that. But that's the thing where patience comes in, because sometimes something will come up that I have to break off from parking you, and that means that you need to hold in line. And it's not because we don't care about you, it's because, you know, we've got to look again, at the bigger picture, from our perspective, that we need to have the accommodations ready for people. So if a slug of folk come along, that we can continue to process them through and get them in and get people parked and not have to have.
We're also not responsible with trees growing that you can't get a satellite in.
Oh, yes.
That's a new hot point. I don't survey us. Bruce and I don't go around and say we can't park a satellite person that needs to get their TV here. Sorry, people.
I don't watch TV in my motorhome.
It
never even crossed my mind.
Oh, satellite TV is a real big thing with a lot of people.
Oh my gosh. You can't
get a satellite.
Oh my gosh.
We don't purposely park you in a place that there's a tree or a building. You know, we don't go around, and contrary to popular belief, we don't do that.
Oh, my gosh, that's hysterical. Okay, final note, and this is coming from me. Make sure to be nice to your parking people. A cup of coffee, a donut. Come on, you guys. They're working their butts off, too.
We're human, and we thank each and every one of you that have us to your kennel clubs and enjoy working with you. There's not a lot of us that will do that.
And on behalf of the clubs that we're doing the parking for, we thank you for participating at that club's show.
Yeah.
We all got to stick together to keep this sport alive and happening, folks, because there's plenty of obstacles in the world that make it difficult for day-to-day business and life, let alone when we want to have our hobby time.
All right. Thanks very much, you guys. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Okay, thanks.
Bye-bye.
All right, crew, we are back with Allison Foley from the Leading Edge Dog Show Academy. Allison is bringing us her tip of the week. Welcome, Allison.
Hi, Laura. How are you?
I'm awesome. How are you?
Good. Thank you.
Yay. So what's our tip for today?
Okay, so up here in Canada, you know, outdoor dog shows are just starting. And also we go to a lot of venues this time of year that it seems like there's not the traditional rubber matting laid down. You know, like we're in fairground buildings where you're just on the cement, et cetera, et cetera.
Yep.
So I just wanted to talk about kind of ring etiquette and where to go and where to stand when you go in the ring.
Sounds good.
So one of the things that we see, and I know that I get told all the time that it really annoys judges, is when you go in and like sometimes the rings are small and sometimes the rings are a decent enough size, but people go in and they start the line of dogs like, you know, a third of the way into the ring. So I've been told by many judges that they actually like us to stack our dogs like as close to the ring border or the ring gate as possible, right? The stanchions
to
or
the
whatever
fence,
making
right.
our ring.
Mm-hmm.
Right, so that they have more room in the ring, more room to move the dogs, et cetera, et cetera. So I think, you know, our etiquette to the judges are, yeah, stand as close to the ring fence as you absolutely can. Don't be ridiculous about it, but
right.
also don't start the line one third of the way into the ring. So, you know, if you're the first dog in the ring, I think that's your responsibility. So I think it's everybody else's responsibility, and I am, like, such a hard ass on this. It is your job to line up in line with the dog ahead of you.
Yes.
It is your job to be way in front of it so that you are blocking them if the judge walks down the line. It is your job. It is the only way to be polite. It is proper ring etiquette to line up directly behind the dog in front of you. And I always encourage people to do the same. Like if I'm the third dog in line to line up, you know, not start moving the line out and out and out and out. I think that it's rude to the dog that's first in line. I think that it's rude to the judge. I think it's extremely frustrating for new exhibitors that don't really know what's going on. It's one of those things that's instantly translated into like a dirty handler trick. I've seen it done by as many owner handlers as I've seen it done by handlers, right? And it just gives new people a really poor taste in their mouth that they just think they can't even go in and set up their dog in the correct position.
Absolutely.
Now, I do, of course, think there's always an exception to the rule, right? You know, there's a big, huge hole. There's a big, huge spot of dirt. There's an ant's nest. There's all kinds of reasons why maybe you might not be able to do that. And if I am the second or third dog in line and I am unable to be directly behind the dog in front of me or even like a little bit more towards the fence, not towards the judge, and I have to go a little bit towards the judge, I always say something to the person in front of me. I always say, like, I'm really sorry, but I just can't put my dog there.
Right.
And I just think that we need to be polite to one another. We need to show good sportsmanship. And especially for new people, I have a lot of new people, like I've seen the look on their face in the ring when they go in and then there's these people are just set up kind of haphazardly.
Right.
And, you know, I think that it's important to know if you're an experienced person in the ring, it's one thing. When that goes on, you can kind of figure out how to combat it. But really, really think about the people that we are in trying to encourage these people in our sport to stay in our sport. So sportsmanship, it starts just as easy as stacking your dog the first time in the ring.
Absolutely. And I would add two things to that because I think you were dead on. Do not crawl up the butt, if you will, of the dog in front of you. Give yourself a foot. Make sure they have room to put the dog's tail out or maneuver or reposition if they need to. That's common courtesy.
I very, very strongly agree with that.
That one makes me crazy. And the second one that I think of when you talk about the outdoor rings and you were mentioning sometimes there's a hole or there's a this or there's a that. One of the things that we can do as experienced exhibitors is when we're outdoors, watch for those sorts of things. Don't put your dog's front in a hole. Right? So then you automatically made your dog be running downhill. You know, be aware of what that footing is underneath your dog.
Yeah, very, very important at outdoor shows for sure.
Absolutely. All right. Thank you so much, Allison. We very much appreciate it. Listeners, don't forget Pure Dog Talk 25 when you check out from one of Allison's fabulous Leading Edge Academy dog show courses. That will give you a 25% discount on your class, and we'll buy you a cup of coffee. Thanks, Allison.
Thanks, Laura.
The Dog Show Superintendents Association is a proud supporter of Pure Dog Talk. Our dog show superintendents are the hardworking people who make the dog show function. They are advocates for education and mentorship in the purebred dog fancy. So stop by the super's desk at your next show. Tell them how much you love Pure Dog Talk and give them a shout out for their support. That's all for today. Thank you for joining us on Pure Dog Talk.